Dude, I'm so tired. After this, I'm gonna go back to the dorm and hit the fattest nap you've ever seen.
What else is new? You hit a fat nap every single day.
No, I don't take a fat nap every single
almost
day.
Almost every other day.
Not almost every other day.
I walk into the apartment, you're like... in your big old room with your door closed, listening to Foo Fighters or John Bellion or whatever you feel like that day. And then you get angry when we knock on your door.
No,
you
no.
throw a big old fist because we go,
no, you
John,
guys
we
want
to be friends with you. And you're like, now.
You guys don't knock on the door. You pound on the door with all of your might in one hefty swing.
We're not.
You were tapping on my door with a big old hockey stick the one day. Do you know how loud that is?
Yes, I do, because... I just try to take a nap once in my life, and Jonah Hoy's like, ah, rah, 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 rah. I hear every word he says.
No,
and then
listen.
You, and then I hear zombies going, bleh.
Every time I try to nap, there's just chaos in that room. Jack starts playing the bass, Jonah starts playing acoustic guitar and singing flat notes, and you start prancing around like freaking Sandman.
I start prancing around like Sandman?
Clayface even, dare I say. Just a big old DC or a Marvel villain. I hear you trampling around in the hallways.
I'm a big old DC or Marvel villain. You couldn't even name one. You couldn't find an apt enough one. I'm the Penguin. I start tapping around with my little penguin feet, my little umbrella going.
You're the Riddler because you speak in riddles.
No, John's the Riddler. We decided that. He's either the Riddler or Bane.
You know who you are, Garrett. You're not a DC or a Marvel villain. You're the dirty bubble from SpongeBob.
I'm the media mogul of RMU. Okay.
Hello there.
Can we get this started?
Oh, hello and welcome to Where's the News?
Oh.
Hello there. You're listening to Where's the News?
That's perfect. You
creeping
on.
I'll take that. Time.
I'll take that 100%. Any day of the week, I'll take that
hear
intro.
Hear your voice of trees on. You come home and stop this pain tonight.
So as Garrett was saying, hello.
Don't
welcome
waste
to Where's the News.
Your time on me. You're already the news inside my head.
That's all right. That wasn't bad. Do you practice during the week?
No.
You don't practice to come on and sing?
No. I do everything from the heart.
Everything from the heart.
Kickstart my heart.
Oh, yeah. Kickstart my heart.
Kickstart the energy drink?
Kickstart the news. How are y'all doing?
Oh, Garrett, taking two of my lines. All right. I'm not bad. I felt pretty good this week. The big old hoorah of election night is done and over with, which feels pretty good.
Not as of yet.
Well... yeah, I mean, we'll sort of discuss that lightly towards the end of the episode. But, yeah, I mean, our election night product is done and out of the way. Feeling good about that. I thought it was a lot of fun to do. I got to be on air with my good friend Nick Hederick. And I got to say, it was a lot of fun. I would totally do that again. I was worried it was going to be stressful, but honestly, I had a blast.
I agree. Sorry. I just had a moment there with my Milky Way. No. I think definitely there were some struggles at the beginning. I think we had the burnout from being upstairs for the first 2 hours and then a little bit of a lack of communication right when we got on. But we rebounded nicely, and I think things went swimmingly for the remainder of the 2 hours.
I have to say the same. Garrett, what would you rate it?
As somebody who was watching the broadcast, from a viewer perspective, yeah, it was good. It was, like, fantastic. From... somebody who understood what was going on behind the scenes.
It's a shame you couldn't watch it on Facebook.
Yeah. As somebody who was watching it behind the scenes, definitely it could have been smoother. There were, for a behind-the-scenes story to really give you the essence of what the election night broadcast was like, I walked into the studio at one point and there was a hot dog roller. And the smell of cheap Sheetz hot dogs filling the room was just... an energy that's hard to describe in words, but also perfectly encapsulates what it's like to be behind the scenes in the studio.
But yeah, I mean, I guess I don't want to shamelessly plug Election Night, but you know what, I'm going to. There were a lot of people who put a lot of time and effort into this and a lot of heart into this production. So where's the news fans? If you like us and you like what we do, try to check out our Election Night broadcast on YouTube. I believe it's under the RMU TV page, or is it RMU, the RMU Central Media YouTube page?
It was on TV.
It was on RMU TV.
RMU TV, and maybe we'll tweet out the link from the Where's the News account so you can find it on our Twitter as well.
Even if you don't like us, go watch it.
Yeah, a lot of people put a lot of time in that, and it was pretty meaningful for, I would say, mostly everyone involved, if not everyone. Other than that, what else is going on this week?
Oh, you just made the audio peak. Come on, man. Come on.
Other than that, what else is going on this week?
Do you want news in regards to arts and entertainment?
Garrett, you know?
Your transition isn't as smooth as mine usually is, so let's get into the world.
Wow, he just crapped on your transition.
Oh, my God. All right, Garrett's the big head honcho of Where's the News now, feeling so confident all of a sudden. No, Garrett, I want you to feel confident.
Anyways, not a whole lot in the world of A&E, actually. There hasn't been a whole lot newsworthy going on, and a part of that is because of the election. A lot of it's, like, to do with anchors. I believe Harry Styles was confirmed to be in the MCU. Miley Cyrus and Stevie Nicks have a song now, but nothing really too influential, but there was an interesting story that I found before the show that I thought we could maybe discuss a little bit, especially given the election energy right now and the kind of winds of change that we're seeing.
I follow the
Your singing isn't as good as Nick's.
It's all right.
I'm trying to sing Wind of Change. I don't remember the lyrics, though. All I know is that they played it when they tore down the Berlin Wall.
Anyways, this headline comes from Vulture.com. Tonight Show head writer leaves show, vows to never again work on Trump jokes. So, here's how the article goes. It's by Meg Wright. After nearly 7 months on the job, a head writer on The Tonight Show, starring Jimmy Fallon, has departed the show, citing her desire to no longer work on comedy sketches about Donald Trump. Going through the article briefly before the show, essentially what she said is, it is just too stressful working in a comedy environment where everyone has different political beliefs and you have to constantly write Trump jokes. You have to constantly write something political. I mean, ultimately you could generalize this to political, but a lot of comedians have expressed dissatisfaction in writing about Trump.
Honestly, I would say this, and I feel like we've talked about this on the show before, but I cannot wait until, you know, we don't know the results of the election yet, at least by the time we're recording this. I cannot wait until either Joe Biden wins the election or Donald Trump goes through another 4 years and then is then permanently out of office. Because, sure, Donald Trump jokes are easy and fun, but in the same token, they're repetitive, you know? I want to see some fresh new comedy. Let's pick a new person. You know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean.
Let's pick a new person to bully.
As fun as it was to make fun of Don.
And it's like he's the gift that keeps on giving in terms of comedy.
I would put forward Mitch McConnell. I know there's been plenty of Mitch McConnell jokes, but in all honesty, easy target.
I vote let's go a year without political jokes. Let's just go a year without them. Let's see what we can come up with.
That won't happen, because even if we have Joe in office, I mean, look at whenever Obama was in office. There were still Obama jokes.
Mm-hmm. But they were like, this is a cool guy kind of joke.
Yeah, it was cool because, like,
you mean to tell me 78-year-old Joe Biden isn't cool?
Did you see his aviators, man? He lives on planet cool. He is the captain of the SS Cool. However, you did see people make fun of Obama, like, for example, even Key and Peele had Obama sitting there and he has his translator, like, who's, like, all tough and says everything more street style than Obama would. I can understand the jokes, but whenever it got to Donald Trump, it just got every single week is, oh, here's a Trump joke.
Orange Obama, man, do bad. Tee hee.
Obama didn't have a horrible animated series about him.
Oh. There's an animated series about Donald Trump?
Yeah, you don't remember it? I'm pretty sure it's Stephen Colbert voices Trump in it.
Ugh.
Like, let me get the exact...
All right, listen. I don't like late-night talk show hosts.
Yeah, are
they all just sort of make me go, ugh. Like, every time I listen to them, every time they tell, like, just mediocre jokes, I'm always just like, ugh.
I'll fight for Conan until he dies.
No, I was just about to say, with Conan being the exception, Conan is genuinely funny. And I feel like he... I haven't watched him in a little while, but I feel like he doesn't just rely on Trump as a punching bag.
Seth Meyers has gotten better, too.
Okay.
I used to not care for Seth Meyers. I loved him at SNL. And then when he started his own, like, late-night show, I was like, oh, this is just another man complaining about Trump. But his show's better. He still makes fun of Trump a lot, but I think it's better. Corden, I don't know about Corden. Kimmel, I don't want to, like, knock Kimmel for being, like, too political. But, like, him and Colbert are both struggling in the sense of they both just get on their soapbox and talk for most of their show.
I think Trevor Noah is the worst at that.
I think he is, too. And, again, like, it's okay to bring these things up.
Right.
But they're trying to be, like, social advocate. Which, again, there's no problem, like, speaking out if something bothers you. But it's like, I'm here to laugh, not to be reminded of all the things I hate in the world.
I think what did it for me was, and, like, this is going to sound kind of lame. I'm not going to lie. But, like, when they, like, started taking over the YouTube platform, which for the longest time had been, like, a creative and fun place to be. And, you know, I mean, obviously YouTube gets criticized constantly nowadays about how corporate it's become and how it relies on those big TV networks to promote that late night stuff and everything in between. Like when they first showed up in YouTube Rewind and stuff like that, that was when I really sort of noticed this. And then I started paying a little bit closer attention to them. And I was like, man, these guys are all just kind of not that funny.
So one thing I'd like to defend, because I just thought of it and I had to look up the exact name of the guy because, in all honesty, I just kind of saw more through social media. I will defend Trevor Noah and The Daily Show only for Jordan Klepper, God's gift to man. You may have seen him. He's the guy who walks up to, like, the Trump supporters and goes, yeah, so why are you voting for him? And then, like, they say something stupid and he goes, you realize that's not true, right? And, like, that kind of reaction style. I feel like that... If you put that on any other show, it would be funny. This is the only show that actually has it. We should have more journalists going out and going like, hey, you realize that's wrong, and just watching the response. I don't know if you've seen it. There was a couple of good ones. Like the one guy he interviews goes, yeah, I'm making a whole lot of money under Trump. And he's like, oh, well, what's your job? Oh, I'm a tax collector.
I love the little sidekicks they have.
Yeah. Well,
Andy Richter, again, not to like be all over Conan, but I think Andy Richter's phenomenal. Like, he usually sits there by the guest and is just like, oh. And again, yeah. I haven't watched Late Night in a while, so assuming things are still the same.
I think if I had to pick one that I respect the most, it would be Conan.
I love Conan.
Or, wait, I mean, this is obviously a whole different thing, but let's be honest. Eric Andre takes the cake every time.
No, Eric.
He doesn't really fall out of their category, but still.
Eric Andre is a god. Well, no, he's Satan's gift to man. I think this is kind of interesting, too, with how we're presenting this, with how we kind of saw late-night hosts at their lowest point, and people realized that, and their numbers have been down since.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever COVID hit. They couldn't go into the studio. They couldn't have their big staffs. They couldn't have a live audience. And, like, Colbert and Fallon were just struggling to get anything done. Trevor Noah did... actually pretty decent for himself, but that's because he's younger and knew what the YouTube format would look like.
Mm-hmm.
Conan did well because Conan's show is built around having those different aspects to it, and he is also aware of what's going on beyond just his show.
And that's like what Seth Meyers, they all had to adapt to this, and some of them like really fell flat.
Well, I mean,
but Seth Meyers had like he stayed at his in-law's house, and there was a like fish on the wall and a picture of like a fisherman or something, and they made them into like characters that were running gags. Like he was like going insane, and like these things were talking to him.
That's
and like
funny.
He left his in-law's house, and like, I don't want you guys to go, and they were like talking to him and stuff. Like, that's just stupid crap. Like, that's late night comedy. Like, it's stupid stuff that should remind me not about my day. Make me forget my day, not make me go, oh man, the world's going to hell.
I mean, it makes me think of when SNL tried to do like their at home episodes too.
I never watched a second of those because I knew they wouldn't be worth my time.
They were like,
and I love SNL for the record. I'm not one of those that SNL's not funny train.
Right.
Like some people that I know are. Like some people that criticize the usage of well-known actors to play the roles of presidential people.
Yeah, I don't understand why that.
Jim Carrey as Biden was actually really that was one of the most apt choices that I could
and
have
people
picked.
People who criticize it, well, someone I follow that we used to know, we still know them, criticize it and says it's not funny, they're relying on other celebrities. You ever hear of getting a big rating?
Yeah, I mean, look at something like,
plus SNL's whole, sorry Garrett, but go ahead.
Oh, well, that kind of gets us back on the political topic as well. Like, sure, Trump on SNL is funny, like, that kind of funny, but want to know what skits do better? Whenever it isn't political. Whenever they don't have to rely on a big actor to play Trump or Biden. Jim Carrey as Biden was funny, but then they did a 12-15 minute skit about the debates, and, you know, the joke gets old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who wants that? A 3-minute skit about it? Maybe. I'll laugh. I'll get a little giggle. But one of my favorite SNL skits is it just Adam Driver walking in as an oil baron of like a ye old oil, like 1900s oil baron, and just screaming at the top of his lungs, and the rest of the cast struggles to not laugh because they didn't know what he was doing.
I miss Bill Hader.
Bill Hader
is, can we just take a minute to appreciate Bill Hader? If you've not watched Barry on HBO, do yourself a favor and watch Barry. It's phenomenal.
If you haven't watched the documentary Now on Netflix.
Oh, that's fantastic too.
He is one of the stars of that show.
But listen, Barry is easily, I would say, his best performance. Dude, that guy is one of the funniest actors that we have. He's also like so, he fits in so many different categories. He was fit perfectly to play Richie in that second It movie. Granted, I feel indifferent towards that second It movie, but he played that role perfectly.
I'm a fan.
Can we address that Colin Jost is married to Scarlett Johansson as of like a couple weeks ago?
What?
Who?
Colin Jost, the Weekend Update guy, is
married to Scarlett Johansson. Wait. Hold on. Colin Jost is nowhere close to Scarlett Johansson. No way. Do you know how much more money she has than him?
They are married.
And how much, like...
Also, he is 38, which I never would have guessed.
What? He's, like, such a dorky
guy.
They
got married in October.
Granted, I'm
him
a dorky
and Scarlett
guy.
Johansson.
I'm a dorky person, so I'm kind of a hypocrite for saying this, but, like, come on. Are you serious?
I'm not kidding you. Colin Jost married Scarlett Johansson like a couple weeks
ago. I don't even think those two have been in the same room together, let alone married.
There's pictures of them.
I believe you. I'm just saying that there's something going on here. Corruption, I say.
Anyway, I agree with you to the extent of SNL's political stuff's not even their funniest work. I think of Pete Davidson's like Chad character. Like, have you ever seen the pool boy skit? He's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Like, that's stupid and it's funny. And, like, to me, everyone's like so critical online now, like, oh, this was really dumb. That's what I watch SNL for. I want stupid humor. And they usually do a good job of mixing in a lot of different comedic styles. I think of, like, the steered straight stuff they used to do with Kenan Thompson and all the different guests, like, Charles Barkley was on one notably. I think Bill Hader's been, well, I think that was when he was just a normal cast member, so that's not really a big special event. But, and then, like, there's just a lot of characters. The Will Ferrell stuff, the Get Off the Shed. Like, they're clever enough.
Yeah.
I know John won't agree with me. But some
that's
of the,
never stopped you before.
Some of the really good recent episodes have had John Mulaney in them. They've just been more endearing
than last week?
Yeah, they've been more endearing than the political stuff. Tonight is the episode we should be watching out for.
They are Dave Chappelle, baby.
Dave Chappelle will be on tonight with guest musicians, the Foo Fighters.
What?
You didn't know
My favorite stand-up comic and my favorite band are on SNL tonight? How did I not know this?
I forget who told me that. I think it was Simeon was talking to me, and he's like, yeah, it's going to be the Foo Fighters and Dave Chappelle. And I'm like, oh, I should have told John.
That's my those are two of my favorite, like, celebrities, celebrity groups. Well, Dave Chappelle's not a group, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, Dave Chappelle is a group.
Garrett, I hope you realize that my day just went from, like, an 8 to a 10. I was having a pretty good day today, but you know what? That put me in a fantastic mood. Regardless.
Regardless. Back on the political thing.
Oh, wait.
Just wrapping it up. Oh, you got something?
I think the Foo Fighters are dropping a new album soon.
I sent this to John.
Yeah, they're hinting at working on something.
Oh, man.
Dave Grohl and the Funky Bunch.
I love the Foo Fighters. I don't know if we've ever talked about that on this show before. My undying love for the Foo Fighters.
For those of you who don't have John on Snapchat, which is probably the majority of our audience, if he has streaks with you, you're going to see his love.
I don't do streaks anymore.
Well, John has retired from Snapchat, much like I have wanted to for 6 months, but just haven't brought myself to do it.
I mean, I still use it to communicate.
Yeah.
Communicado, but...
Is their new album going to be called We're Not Nirvana?
Please stop saying we sound like Nirvana.
For the record, I love the Foo Fighters, but I always make jokes that they're just Nirvana light to John, and it makes him upset. It makes him sad.
It does make me upset. They're my favorite band. They hold a lot of memories dear to my heart, and they're great.
I mean, everyone has that band. Last night, I was talking with one of our roommates, and he's like, Metallica is just so special to me. He's like, I appreciate every fine little detail in their songs and how they do it. I went to see one of their live shows, and apparently in Master of Puppets, this is a fact I learned last night that's kind of interesting. Before they say, Fix Me, apparently whenever they were first writing that song, they needed something to say and didn't know. So Cliff said, Pancakes Go. Because he called Hetfield Pancakes.
Okay.
Which
is kind of funny.
But they do that in live shows. And whenever he went to a live show in like 2012, much after Cliff's death,
yeah,
they said Pancakes Go, and he like kind of cried a little.
Oh.
He's like, oh, that's just so sweet.
That's so wholesome.
All right, well, Garrett, what's your band?
My band?
Yeah, because you mentioned everyone's got it.
I don't know. I don't know if I have that specific band that like really just kind of hits it home for me.
This needs to be a topic for another day.
Well, yeah.
Because I want to sit here and I want to go in depth about my love for the Foo Fighters one day.
We should give it its due diligence.
It deserves it.
We should do it right.
We'll do it one of these days. We'll have a good old album talk. Or not an album talk, just a band talk. Something broad and simple. Yeah.
A conversation for the viewers. But for now, let's move on from A&E to the big wide world of sports ball.
Yeah.
He burped into the microphone.
I sure did. Not a ton. Some RMU stuff coming out. In terms of basketball schedules, hockey, I believe, will start next weekend, actually. The Steelers put their undefeated record on the line against the Cowboys this week in terms of airtime. Cowboys are going to be on their fourth quarterback this season. Steelers also just had Mike Tomlin get fined.
For what?
Not wearing his mask.
Ah.
Which is odd because he's worn it quite often.
I don't think
I've seen him with it on probably 99% of the time. That's not me being a homer either. I just genuinely don't think I've seen him without it much, but they're going to get you. So that's unfortunate. They also got Avery Williamson from the Jets. That guy must be on cloud nine, going from a team with no wins to a team with no losses. And then Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner got fired for their socks.
Really?
Yes.
What was wrong with their socks?
They were too low.
Oh.
We too low?
I'm wearing mismatched socks right now.
Damn kids with their too low socks.
I had
ruining the game.
Yeah, so that's really all for sports. Pittsburgh related, at least. Not a ton. Just hoping and praying and praying and hoping that the Steelers continue their undefeated ways this week when they play Dallas. I feel confident, but they play three pretty easy teams in a row after playing the Titans and Ravens, two of the better teams on their entire schedule. I feel a trap game coming. I feel a trap game loss coming.
See, that's always what gets them, too. It's always like that underlying easy one that you end up tying to the Browns. You know what I mean?
I think they play the Bengals next week, and I think that might be it. The rookie Joe Burrow beats the Steelers.
If the Bengals are what make us lose our streak, I'm going to be thoroughly upset. I think I might hate the Bengals more than I hate the Ravens.
I don't know. Now that all the bad people, that's so uneducated sounding. I think now that all the bad people...
Well, I mean,
I just said it again. I think now that all the notorious jerks and low blowers and
there were a lot of people on the Ravens team that were just, you know, pretty bad people.
I mean, but when you look at the Ravens, they had Terrell Suggs, they had Ray Lewis.
Are you saying everyone on the Steelers is a great person?
I'm sure they're not. We have a lot of good people.
I don't think anyone on the Steelers is genuinely dirty. There were guys on the Ravens teams and the Bengals teams when we were younger that were genuinely just dirty players.
Mm-hmm.
Like Vontaze Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like Adam Pac-Man Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was just a bad person in general. He was still one of like the most people I've been most enamored with in my life, though. I thought he was so interesting. And then I think of, Ray Rice is on that Ravens team. And Ray Rice had a very bad falling out with the league and everything.
Ooh.
I never cared for him when he was with the Ravens, though. Something about him, I always wanted to see him get stuffed in the backfield. Joe Flacco, I never had a problem with just because, like, he wasn't crazily outspoken or anything. Same with, like, Andy Dalton. I never cared about Andy Dalton. Never minded A.J. Green. He's still on the Bengals. Never cared about A.J. Green in terms of him, like, me wanting to see him lose. I always liked A.J. Green. So, I don't know. I think I would have to put the Ravens ahead, though.
That's fair. Because, I mean, I didn't think about the old school.
And they always had those really good games growing up.
I just feel like the Bengals are way more cocky than the Ravens.
The Bengals are there to disrupt things. Because it's always the Steelers and Ravens at the top. And the Bengals are always competitive. Obviously, right now, they're not doing too well, like, at all.
Mm-hmm.
Thus is how they got the number one pick last year. And they always kind of squeaked into the playoffs or would be the team to keep us out of the playoffs or not. So, yeah.
The Ravens always feel like competition that is frustrating.
And I will acknowledge the kind of dirty play that broke Carson Palmer's leg when he was in Cincinnati. I'll acknowledge that the Steelers were dirty in that incident. But
as I was saying, alternatively, I think that the Bengals always just feel like a nuisance that is way harder to get rid of than it should be. You know what I mean? I feel like the past several games against the Bengals that I've watched, and this may just be like, I'm thinking like playoff games or something similar to that. Just the important games with the Bengals, not playoff games. Every time I've watched them, I'm just like way too stressed out than I should be. Whereas with the Ravens, I'm like, okay, I understand why I'm stressed out. And it's just like, I don't know, something about watching the Bengals win over the Steelers would sting really bad.
I feel that. But we'll see what happens against Dallas, a team with another big chunk of the Steelers' history to correlate with theirs. Those early Super Bowl matchups in the 70s, they had a Super Bowl matchup in the 90s, I believe. So a lot of history there between those two teams.
Do you think they're still upset about that game from the 70s?
Who, the Cowboys?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the most notorious Super Bowls of all time, so maybe. Jerry Jones probably is. I don't know. He might go play quarterback at this point. We'll see. Remember last episode when Garrett was like super into the sports topics?
It's because he watched the game with us that day.
Because that was the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Garrett, who do you think's going to win this weekend? Dallas, the Steelers, and by how much?
I think Steelers win by 14 points.
Yay!
Yeah, bravo! All right.
Garrett.
I said the right thing.
That's going to do it for sports with that beautiful prediction by Garrett. I have nothing left to say.
I mean, I just don't know the sport. I don't know sport ball.
Well.
But you know what I do know? News.
I was going to say, I think I'm going to send my letter over to John and hope he gets it in time.
Well,
as
Nick,
long as it's not a mail-in ballot, he should get it on time. I messed it up.
It's all good, my friend.
Well, Nick, if it was a mail-in ballot, I'd be taking several days to get back to you. Because we're in the state of Pennsylvania. But, with that being said, do I really even have to research anything this week? No. The news writes itself right now.
Sometimes the jokes write themselves, too.
Right now... Garrett has the stats pulled up. Garrett, why don't you read off those electoral votes for me, please?
So as of Friday, November 6th at 3:15 p.m., just so we make sure that it is, you know, exactly where we are in time right now. Maybe not space. We are on Mars. The current electoral college votes are 264 for Joe Biden.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Because they keep flopping if Arizona's called or not.
And then 214 for Donald Trump. It is 270 to win, meaning that Joe Biden is six away.
Which would Nevada
would put him over, which he is currently leading by roughly 1.6% of the vote. So it's likely that he's going to win that, given how their polling has gone. And then Donald Trump needs 56, I think. Yeah, 56 votes. If he wishes to get to 270. However, last night I would have said it's anybody's game right now. Anybody could take it.
But then small little county in Pennsylvania
Erie,
changed
PA.
The whole course of the election.
So overnight, everyone yesterday was like, yeah, you know what? It's anybody's game. You know, it's getting closer because they're counting mail-in ballots. But if you woke up this morning... Pennsylvania and Georgia flip from red to blue. Pennsylvania is currently sitting at a 0.2% lead for Joe Biden, which is roughly about, I'd say, under 20,000 votes. And Georgia, which has been a hot topic, there's no percentage lead. It's down to about less than 2,000 votes.
Georgia's not a hot topic. It's a state.
I hated that so much. The states that are still in favor of Donald Trump as of now are North Carolina, where he is pretty much dominating Joe Biden. I don't know
why. Would
you
say he's Donald-nating?
He's trumping Joe Biden by about 2 percentage points, a little under 2. I'm not very good at doing quick math in my head for percentages. And Alaska is in his favor, where he's utterly trumping Joe Biden by over 20% of the votes. That's undisputed, but Alaska also only has 50% reporting. Oh. Georgia is at 99%, and PA is at 98%, so it's looking likely it's going to be blue, but I can guarantee you those are going to be recounts.
Yeah, I think that... Well, okay... Everyone's saying, well, everyone's demanding recounts, and that makes sense. But as we've learned recently, if states are super close like that, it's a law that they have to recount.
I believe it was a recent law, too. It wasn't too long ago. I think it was around the time of the Bush-Gore election.
Yeah.
It was, I believe that one was decided by the Senate, too, was it not?
I am the Senate.
And that's one of the things, too, is that the Senate race
that
is
was
currently
so loud. Sorry.
The Senate race is currently looking to be another Republican majority, but the House is a Democratic majority again. So.
Oh, great. Everything's going to be split.
It's a gridlock.
We're going to get so far.
We're going to accomplish so much.
I have a feeling that the Biden presidency is going to be a whole lot of not much happening, unfortunately.
I mean, in all honesty, if he shuts his mouth and does nothing, I would honestly...
I would be totally content with things just being really chill for 4 years without any crazy nonsense trying to happen.
When we're riding with Biden.
As long as he prevents my medical coverage from me not being allowed to get on my parents' health insurance until 26 like it is now, I'm cool. Joe can stay.
Now, here's one of the things that has also been happening that I thought was important to mention. Trump has been on a tweet storm about this.
He's...
Here, let me talk for a moment. Let me handle this. Because I'll tell everyone the truth, and that's something Garrett always tries to get around to, telling the truth. Just kidding, I love you, Garrett. That was so rude. Here's the deal. The mail-in ballots. That's where we're headed with this conversation.
Yeah.
Because Trump pulled out really early to a lead, which we thought would happen, because for the last 5 months, we've heard mail in your ballot from the Democrats. It's been mail in, stay safe. Mail in your ballots. Don't go stand in line. Don't go crowd the polling place. Mail in your ballots. Mail in your ballots. Sign up to vote. Register online. Absentee ballot. Mail in ballots. Mail in ballots. Mail in ballots.
Which I might add, just real quick to interject, not a grand scheme.
No.
It makes sense for them to say that considering that the Democrats right now are advocating for a lot of COVID safety.
Right.
So it makes sense
and
for
agree,
them to say that.
Agree or disagree with the COVID thing. Democrats are pushing, hey, everyone that's going to vote for Biden, mail in your ballot.
And historically,
be
Democrats
safe.
Don't turn out to the polls as much. There a lot of, and it's kind of a voter suppression kind of tactic, but I'll save that conversation for another day. Boiling it down, Democrats are more likely to have jobs that they can't leave on Election Day, and that's why people want Election Day to be a national holiday.
All right.
Just for context.
Which I'm all for, too, especially when you hear about the waiting times, which should not be a thing, but somehow it is. Listen, and again, I'm independent. I don't say this to, you know, go, you can't be mad at what I say. I say it because let's look at it from an obvious perspective. If one side is saying, I'm going to go vote in person because this is a hoax and we shouldn't be afraid. We're going to go vote now. Cool. Cool to everyone that did that. Some people didn't feel comfortable doing it. Their party was telling them not to do it. And they voted Democratic. And they voted by mail. So Trump comes out to a big lead. All of a sudden, they start counting these mail-in votes, and Trump's losing his lead. He has lost his lead in some states. And all of a sudden, it's, wait a minute, that can't be allowed. Whoa, why are all, how is it that they're 60% Biden the mail-in votes and 40 Trump? How are they 70% Biden and 30 Trump? Gee, I don't know. Maybe it's because they were telling everyone to vote by mail, and the Republicans weren't.
It's just...
And all of a sudden, it's becoming... Well, they're trying to steal our election. Listen, I'm hearing so much information that makes it sound like they're telling me specifically. There's so much information you can read that makes it all sound shady. There's probably some shady stuff going on here. I'm not going to lie. But to think that it's completely rigged, I think, is a little odd. Especially the way they're going about it when the Democrats were the ones that we knew were going to be voting by mail. So why are they so surprised that these are overwhelmingly blue votes? And if the tables were turned, and again, chill, if the tables were turned and the Republicans had been the ones to say vote by mail, and they were coming in 80% red, 20% blue, and the Democrats were saying, hey, this shouldn't be allowed, the Republicans would be, my God, how is it not allowed? We've done everything right. But because it's the Republicans on the bad end, it's becoming, this is witchcraft.
And
the whole thing is rigged.
And like you said, it would be the same either way.
And they're saying, don't count the votes in some states that they're ahead in. And they're saying, count the votes in ones they're behind in.
Here's my thing.
What the hell?
Here's my thing.
That's why no one takes either of them seriously.
If you're an American, it does not matter which party you're registered for. We are based on a democratic society. I mean, we're a Republican democracy hybrid, but you get what I'm saying here. The people decide. And to say we're not going to count all of these votes is speaking against democracy, which is then why did you just give me that look?
Sorry, I'm just trying to process something on my screen.
Oh, I thought it was something that I said.
Did they call the election?
No. So,
is it about the election?
Hold on, let me finish my point.
Yeah, I'll let John finish, and then I'll get on to what I was going to say.
But no, if you're saying stop the votes, you're saying, okay, let's just stop democracy real quick. Let's just take a pause on, like, one of the greatest things about our nation. And regardless of who wins or who would have won at this point, that's still one of the coolest things about our nation, and is that we have the option to do this.
They're going
to
be doing recounts in a bunch of these
exactly.
states.
Exactly. So it's you can't, even if you say, if you shout to the rooftops, corruption, corruption, it's going to get recounted. It's going to get reexamined. You, like, this is going to be pulled through with a fine-tooth comb. Look, there are multiple ways you can look at it. Number one, I've heard people say that the media is making this up. The media is not making this up. Take CNN, MSNBC, two very Democratic-leaning media outlets. Then you have Fox News, a very Republican media outlet.
Fox News also was one of the first to call Arizona for Biden.
Exactly.
Which is if they're all not being confirmed by even ABC yet, I don't think.
Do you mean to tell me, if you genuinely believe that the media made up who won the election, why? Why would they contradict their own beliefs? Why? Who gains from that? What does Fox News gain from Joe Biden winning? A Republican media outlet. They gain nothing. You can't sit there and say, oh, the media made it up. The media picked the president. That makes no sense.
I think the media's coverage has been awful, though, in a sense of the way they've treated Trump for these previous 4 years.
I won't disagree
with
that.
So I think it's – I no, and again, let's not beat around the bush. Trump's a god-awful human being. I didn't disagree with all of his policies, but God, he's a god-awful human being. I don't know if he's a guy that I would go fight in a war for, though. Okay? And policy aside, he's not a good person. But every interview they did wasn't about what he was going to do. The 60 Minutes interview was a sham because they set him up from the beginning to look like a total tool, which he is, so they didn't need to set him up. That would have happened naturally. But there was hardly any questions that were remotely hard-hitting in terms of policy. It was all, well, here's a quote from you being an awful person. Let's talk about it.
And we
that's how they covered him for 4 years straight.
And we touched upon this last week. And you know what? I really hope that if Joe Biden makes it into office, I would like to see two things happen. I would like to see the American people's relationship and the media's relationship heal, because you've had a president for 4 years who has driven that divide even harder. So I'd like to see that. And maybe with a president who doesn't do that, that's possible. But with that being said, I would want the media to be similarly critical of Joe Biden. You have to criticize both candidates.
No,
they you have to be just as tough on the Republican president as you are on the Democratic president. You can't pick and choose, because that's not how journalism should work.
I agree. And again, we're like college students. You're like, oh, you're telling us how the world works. Okay.
But it just makes sense. It's just common sense.
You're supposed to be non-biased. If I had them both in this room right now, I would ask them both, you know, things that I think we should hear. You know, what do we do to end COVID? And then if Trump starts saying we're going to have a vaccine by the end of the year after there was going to be one by the election, I would say, okay, well, this isn't adding up. What's going on here? Give me some specifics. I'd ask Biden the same thing.
Right.
The only problem with the handling of COVID by Trump, I've changed my opinion on, in the sense that, yeah, he's on record saying this is really bad and it's going to be a problem. But the more I look at people, I don't know what he could have done that would have made things better. We locked down, then the states reopened, and that was states' call. And again, you two might disagree, but we're such an individualistic society here in America that everyone preaches how we're all Americans, rah, rah, rah. But very rarely will people do the most minimalistic task to protect their neighbor. And we saw that during this whole thing. So yes, I think Trump could have handled it better, but to an extent, people have to do their part too. And we have seen all along people not doing their part.
And you have to wonder, and this is a question we will never know the answer to. Trump supporters are very loyal and respectful towards him, which is, you know, admirable. I think, you know, we should look at our leaders like that. And, you know, not everyone looks at Donald Trump that way, and that's fine.
I'll have a comment on that in a little bit.
For those that do, you know, good for them. I hope you can look to any president that way. And, you know, I wish everyone could find some respect. You know what I mean? We should all be more respectful, but that's a different story.
We should all listen.
My point being, because of that, I wonder if Donald Trump had taken COVID a little bit more seriously, hadn't carried such a more relaxed persona about it when he was addressing it, would his supporters have been more willing to social distance, to wear masks, things like that? Just small, minute things that make all the difference in this.
If anything, we should have locked down sooner.
Maybe.
I think we should have done something in February. Again, I think we should have closed the border sooner and locked down sooner. Mm-hmm. But again, who knows how well that would have even worked, given how people have handled it in the months that followed.
And, you know, now it's going to be even harder. Now you could say, no matter who gets into office, Joe Biden is really pushing that he's going to, you know, be the savior for COVID. But it's been, by the time he gets into office, it'll have been almost a year with this going on. And you have to wonder, after a year of this, when you already have people who aren't listening and aren't really following this, why would they listen now?
I'm genuinely intrigued to know how this ends in America.
It's going to be interesting to see.
Because people aren't going to get the vaccine. I've said it on here before that I'm going to wait to see like how it affects people, especially with my medical history.
Right.
People aren't getting the vaccine. People already don't believe it's a problem. When the vaccine comes out, I'm still going to guess hundreds of thousands of active cases will be around, maybe millions. Again, because of the way numbers are going. And I don't know the current numbers, so maybe there are already millions.
They're starting to go up again. Yeah. I mean, look at RMU alone.
Yeah. So, I mean, How is it just going to end? How's it just going to end is my question.
Right.
Because they're saying, you know, regular life might be back by the end, like the third or fourth quarter of next year.
It all depends on when they get a vaccine. If you have a vaccine,
well, like
you
Nick
can
said,
start treating it and preventing the spread of
but
it.
But a vaccine you get like beforehand, kind of.
And people are going to be hesitant to take it as it is.
Yeah, but
is a vaccine
it's
a
the
cure?
Same, it's the too. Same with polio. It's not a cure.
Exactly. They so you to, have to get it beforehand.
Now that they have,
what if you already have it?
Granted, it's expensive. Remdesivir's like absurdly expensive. I think they did the math for Trump's exact treatment, and it was around $30,000 out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something most people can afford. But if you have a vaccine, like say with polio, you start spreading that vaccine during an epidemic and it starts slowing down the spread of it. People will be apprehensive to it. They still are. People are anti-vaxxers. A lot of people will be more receptive to it and be less likely to spread it around. And then once you have a treatment method and a vaccine method, you'll see the numbers just go down until it's, oh, this person has COVID. Oh, yeah, it would be equated to something like the flu.
Before,
like, not to say, oh, it's no worse than the flu. It would be equated to something like getting strep throat.
Right. Before we move on, I don't want to spend all day talking about politics, but we had to. It's the biggest story in the United States right now.
Can I add the social media aspect to
yeah,
this
please.
Real quick?
Yeah.
So I was going to add this a while ago.
I have a horrible feeling I know what you're about to say.
I was going to add this a while ago whenever I was talking Twitter. Oh, you have no clue what I'm about to say for one of these. Because I started off with like a very serious, but then I started to, as you guys were talking, just kind of click and go, what? Because I saw a face I remember. And the fact that it's this face that put me down this path is absurd, but it will happen. So Donald Trump has obviously been tweeting about the election.
Mm-hmm.
He is not happy with how it's going. And Twitter has been pretty much censoring almost every other tweet because he just keeps spreading misinformation. However, I think it's not accurate for them to only see him as the one spreading misinformation. This isn't me playing devil's advocate. What he's saying is wrong. He's trying to undermine the democratic process and say we shouldn't count votes. And then his most recent tweet is, where are the missing military ballots in Georgia? What happened to them? Like, there's this kind of scatterbrained, he wants the votes he wants to count to count. And that's why a lot of, like, strong conservatives and not far-right people, but people who are right-leaning are going, dude, you need to stop because you're only making it worse. They won't recount the vote if you act like this. So I click on this. Where's the missing military ballots in Georgia? What happened to them? And I look down and I'm like, wow, it's just clear that people are kind of, because if you look at the comments on them, people will criticize him. But a lot of these people are saying, you know, oh man, I agree with this. I can't live in a country with Joe Biden. And this one says, I couldn't live in a country with Joe Biden. I'm like, okay, let's click on this guy. He looks like a doctor. The picture blown up, I know who he is. It's Johnny Sins.
Oh.
It is very clearly a bot account.
I didn't know where he was going.
It's very clearly a bot account. You can see that they're just tweeting things consistently that just don't make sense. Like, I've read through John Blinn's Twitter. It doesn't make sense sometimes with a obsession with shirtless men with backpacks.
No. The obsession against that.
The obsession.
And everything that stands for.
But if you click on these, like, Trump support accounts, they're very clearly bots, and some of them break and start retweeting their own stuff and criticizing it from his comments. And I feel like that's what a portion of whenever people are like, oh, yeah, I saw online, you know, you can't do this. Like, this bot issue isn't something that's going to go away. And as a result, that's why they, even if Trump doesn't necessarily spread the misinformation, he just says, like, we're going to get past this COVID thing, and people are like, yeah, there's a cure for it. That's what gets retweeted and starts getting traction. Because if you just look up Trump, you'll see all of them. This is Trump voters. Someone was Trump 2020, had like an anime banner, and then was arguing with themselves over policy, both being the same policy they were talking about, but calling himself an idiot. So I don't get it. I don't get it. I just thought this was something kind of interesting in the midst of this conversation that, as we're talking about, it's kind of an echo chamber. You know, there's not being enough said. That's a nice little echo. I just thought that was interesting. That, and I saw Johnny Sins, and I'm like, wait, that really?
I think that one more thing that I want to say is a lot of people are saying, well, this is clearly rigged because, you know, all of these states are flipping blue, and as Nick talked about the mail-in ballots. But you also have to keep in mind, the places that are going to take the longest to count and probably are the last places that are being counted right now are cities. You know, they're the highly most populated areas within states. And statistically speaking, cities tend to be more Democratic-leaning. So again, you shouldn't be surprised that these states are switching to blue at the last minute. It's just going to be turnout. It's going to be who turned out to what areas more. And as of right now, it seems that the mail-in had a higher turnout. And it's a weird year. You're going to be seeing weird things. But you can't just say the solution. You can't just say that the reason that this is happening is because someone is cheating. And I think that a lot of people aren't considering that when you're saying our election is rigged, our election is ruined, this is a lie, this doesn't work. Sure, I understand. You're frustrated and not everything's looking crystal clear right now. I get that. But in the same token, you're also saying, in that instance, the democracy that our country was founded on and has continued to run with for years and years and years is now a lie. It is now compromised and it is now ruined. You have to be careful throwing that around. And I think I've seen too much of it lately. And, you know, that's just one thing I want to think. If you truly care about this country, think before you look into what you're saying before you question everything that it's based off of. That's all I have to add there.
we got very political and very deep.
Yeah, but it's like I said, it's the biggest story in the world right now.
Do we got a goofy little news story, like something a little funny, ha-ha? Well,
I just think we need to start listening to each other, meet in the middle.
It's the truth.
When I was a professor at another school.
And if you're listening right now, you can clearly tell that you've inspired us.
No, it was That was a good conversation to hear.
Very good conversation.
I think a lot of us needed to hear that. And you know what? For the listeners that weren't there for it, I'm sorry. You just had to be there.
I think people just need to be kinder.
One thing that I will say is
I want to tack on just before we get off the topic, I'm sorry. Because I just saw it and it was kind of important. And I feel we should include it. There's been this thing about lost ballots and where they are and like, you know, all this fraud because of it. But the Postal Service in Allegheny just did a full sweep of their facilities and found like 300 ballots. So yes, you know, 297 ballots, still 297 votes, especially this close. But people are like, where's the missing 40,000 for Trump?
But again, you can't say, you can't scream fraud and corruption and this is intentional, because clearly people are making steps for this to be fair. People care about what's happening in the country.
Also, another thing is that they're marching on Philadelphia in their election offices, a lot of Trump supporters. Also, but in Pittsburgh, an anti-Trump group is also gathering and marching. So, you know, press a piece to war.
As long as they all...
One of the funny things, I feel like a funny way to end this, is that almost every single person in Philly is like...
Oh, they're all coughing.
I just choked on something. Ooh, swallowed a bug.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
So all the people in Philadelphia right now are going, no, don't do it. Don't give us a reason. Like, not like, you know, the left or the right. No, just pure Philadelphians going, we throw batteries at people when they win games. Do you really want to come here and... like, give us a reason.
Gritty punched a kid.
And they approved of it.
Yeah.
One of the ones I saw was, like, somebody threw up on a kid, and they're like, well, they probably deserved it.
They broke the Liberty Bell. Can we just leave Philadelphia alone for a little bit? It's clearly not going to lead to anything good.
Yeah, I will admit some of the memes coming out of this, like, down period and, like, people marching are kind of funny. Like, you can take some humor out of the situation with, like, you know, people are like, Pennsylvania's just sitting there reading a book while all the other states scramble. Georgia, like, doing an anime turn to get, be, like, blue. It's like it rips open a shirt to reveal blue. Like,
the memes have been good.
I feel like people are almost kind of used to this political situation now and seeing it almost change. Possibly change and go back to normal. People are like,
thank God.
Imagine having to deal with this every election cycle.
I hope that we never have to deal with a divide like this again. I don't know what it'll take, but I hope that the divide is fixed.
I just wish there was a video of a bunch of celebrities singing Imagine to help me cope with the times.
Do you know what? You know, obviously we're talking, we need a lot of change. We need some good in the world right now, and I believe next Tuesday there's going to be a little bit of good in the world. Nick, just real quick, can you elaborate on...
Oh, my!
Real quick refresher, because we addressed it last episode, but just for anyone who didn't listen, can you address that one more time, and then we'll call it a day.
The Stranded Sports and Where's the News charity stream for the Pittsburgh Children's Hospital from 9 to midnight on Tuesday, November 10th. It will be the greatest live stream in the history of live streams. We have some great guests lined up. And we have some prizes from the Milkshake Factory, Mike and Tony Gyros, and I believe Joan Pie's Pizza. If you want to win any of those prizes, just donate.
Yeah. And we're hoping to have a pretty good time with that. And
we will have a pretty good time.
I hinted at some stretch goals, and I want to pitch one live to you two.
Okay.
I believe... we have a goal set for John to cut his hair.
$1,000.
$1,250.
We compromised. $1,250. John cuts his hair.
Uh-huh.
That's one where's the new stretch goal. But what if for $1,000, the goal for Stranded, Star Wars special. A new singular Star Wars special.
For Stranded.
Well, Stranded's goal set at 1,000, so the entire...
So what, we watched the last movie?
We watched the last movie, and we talk about it.
No, I don't want to do that.
I'll one-up you.
Oh, you're going to one-up me.
I will one-up you, because there is a better movie series that we should do.
Oh?
The Pirates of the Caribbean.
I'm all for that.
$1,000 and we will watch all of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies and talk about them.
I'm all for it.
I'm all for that.
You've heard it here first?
Apparently the last two were awful. And I didn't know because I was still young enough.
I actually really liked the last one they did.
I haven't watched that one yet. Anyways, maybe we will. But yeah, just to wrap that up, I will cut my hair at $1,250. Not shaven bald or anything, but I'm just going to cut off the, you know.
I got a goal.
Yeah.
I got a goal for you.
Okay.
If we get to $2,500, so doubling our goal and then some, I will play Wonderwall and John will sing Wonderwall.
I don't even know the words to Wonderwall.
Well then never mind.
You'll learn it.
We'll see. We got a lot of stretch goals in the making. We'll have them confirmed soon. At least Nick probably will.
We'll put out a graphic on Where's the News detailing it. I'll do something. No, I'm not cutting my hair because I have the typical conservative male haircut and I appreciate it. I actually started getting it cut a little bit different, so it looks a little bit more liberal now. But a liberal haircut. But me, Nick, and John will each do something we don't want to do if we surpass our goals.
And we'll do it this time. Unlike the quarantine challenge.
Yeah, the quarantine challenges fell through. I didn't have enough money for wine. Nick really didn't want to make a TikTok. And John just doesn't care about his friends. So.
All right. With that being said, be sure to tune into that on Tuesday, and we will see you guys next week.
So long, farewell.
Tyler Gallo is the leader of Antifa.